reading from the book of Ruth, the third chapter. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go, and uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." It's our third week in the book of Ruth. I know some of you have been here all 3 weeks, and some of you are here for the first time, so it's worth a brief recap. The book of Ruth begins with a description of how Naomi and her husband Elimelech leave the land of Israel, the town of Bethlehem, to go and find refuge in Moab during a famine. While they are there, their 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, take Moabite wives, and then tragedy strikes. The husband dies, the son dies, and the woman, Naomi, is left with her 2 daughter-in-laws and no way of surviving. So she sets out to go back to the land of Bethlehem, and to her great surprise, one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, says that she will go along, and Naomi's God will be her God, and where Naomi lives, Ruth will live as well. In Ruth chapter 2, we heard how God provided daily bread for Naomi and Ruth through the hands of their near relative Boaz, whose fields were ripe with harvest. When we ended chapter 2, we left Ruth living in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law Naomi after God had provided their daily bread during the wheat and barley harvests. Ruth, you may recall, had gone through the fields after they were harvested, gleaning what was left over. And Boaz, that relative, he is a godly and pious man. He has treated Ruth with kindness and compassion, with generosity, and he has spoken admiringly of her and of her care for Naomi. But when we end Ruth chapter 2 and start Ruth chapter 3, there is still a dilemma. There is still a problem. You still have these 2 women who are widows, impoverished, with no property, no protector, no provider, and no future. How would they live? What should they do? Some might say that they should just trust God. And of course, that's absolutely right. We should trust God at all times and with all things. They should trust God, and they do trust God. But that doesn't really answer the question of what they should do. What exactly does it look like to trust God? Does that mean you sit on your hands or you twiddle your thumbs while you wait for God's help? Does that mean that they should expect God to deliver their next meal right to their door in an 11th century BC DoorDash sort of way? Or is there a way to trust God? To trust God while also making our own plans and taking action? Would God have you twiddle your thumbs or sit on your hands? The answer is no. To wait on God and to trust in Him doesn't mean we do nothing. It means we do what we can with what we have, not expecting that what we do will in any way justify us before God. But we do what we can with what we have, and we leave the outcome to Him. You see, that's where the trust comes in. The trust does not come in trusting that God will take care of everything if we just sit there. The trust comes in doing what is in front of us and trusting that God will work it for good. So we wait and we act. We trust and we do. And that's what Naomi did. Naomi took the initiative. She knew something had to be done, and she took a pretty big risk in what she did. She came up with a plan. "My daughter," she says to Ruth, "should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" It sounds like a question, but it's not. It's a statement. Ruth is only her mother-in-law, but in this case, she acts as if she's Ruth's mother. And she wants to provide Ruth with rest and security, with good, and with a husband. Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? "See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." That's the plan. You can perhaps see what she's doing with that plan. She's banking on Boaz's character, on his faithfulness and his generosity and his godliness, that he'll know what to do, and when the ball is put in his court, he will act as well. But you'll note that her plan also requires a great deal of tact and privacy. An opportunity for Ruth to approach Boaz and speak with him without the eyes and the ears of the world watching and listening. It reminds me of what Jesus said when he said that we are to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. I picture Naomi being like that. And Naomi says that the time is now. This is the night to do it. Boaz will be at his threshing floor, and after he has his evening meal, he'll lay down to guard the grain from thieves. And that's when Ruth needs to go. You know, there's a danger to it as well. A risk, a number of them, in fact. There's the danger that someone might see her coming or going and spread a malicious rumor. Or there's the danger that Boaz maybe is not the man of character they assume and will take advantage of Ruth. Or maybe Boaz and Ruth will be carried away by their passions and fall into sin. Or maybe Boaz will just reject her proposal and spurn her and kick her to the side. There's danger and there's temptation. And it could all go wrong so easily, as often happens with the best laid plans of mice and men. But Ruth does what Naomi tells her to do. She goes to the threshing floor. When Boaz lays down to sleep, she comes quietly. She uncovers his feet and lays down too. And then she waits. And sometime in the middle of that night, perhaps you've had the feeling, you realize your feet are cold. And Boaz reaches down to pull off his blanket or his cover, and there is a woman lying at his feet. What's she doing there? Who's this woman? And that's the moment in the story of Ruth where we hit the greatest tension of all. What will Boaz do? And how will he react? And how will God provide for Ruth and Naomi through these sort of ordinary, everyday, very earthly decisions and actions? What are you doing here? Ruth makes her plea. She states her case. I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. She's recalling the very prayer that Boaz had prayed over her, that the Lord would spread his wings over her. And when she says, spread your wings over your servant, it's a bit of a roundabout way of saying, marry me, for you have been my protector. I suppose we could say that it's rather forward of her to do. She asks him to take her under his care. And of course, there is already a history here of Boaz watching out for Ruth. She also appeals not only to her own needs, but to the relationship they have within the family. She shows that the concern is not only for herself, but also for Naomi and for the family of her dead husband. And she challenges Boaz to step up. And Boaz does. This is the amazing thing. Naomi takes a risk. Ruth takes a risk. And then Boaz takes a risk as well and is willing to make a sacrifice. He will take action. Now, we still don't know how it's going to end here in chapter 3 because Boaz makes clear that there's another wrinkle to the story. We're finding out about it now for the first time. There's another relative who is even closer in relation to them than he is. And that relative could decide that he wants to buy the family property. What we see today is that God acts through means. God works through people. It's amazing, but he does. He works through his people, and God uses believers as his instruments. Naomi didn't know exactly what God's plan was. Ruth didn't know what God's plan was. Boaz didn't know what God's plan was. But they were each reacting with the wisdom that God had given them in the circumstances that they were in. And I should say that even with the danger and the temptation, the biblical account gives no indication that there's sin in any way with what Ruth does. So what will you do as you trust God and wait? And we are waiting for the great action of our God to return in glory when Christ comes again. What opportunities do you have to be an agent through whom God answers the prayers of others? There are people who are praying for things. And once in a while, sometimes, you and I turn out to be the answer to those prayers, as Boaz was for Ruth. Who might you be called to serve and to care for, to sacrifice for, and what risks might be in front of you? Of course, Boaz and Ruth and Naomi had no idea that they were part of a much bigger plan. Naomi made her plans and they went about it, but God had a larger plan that he was carrying out through them. It was the plan to bring a son into the family, eventually to bring a king into the family, David, and then eventually to bring his own beloved son into this earth for us. You see, God's plan was to send his son through the line of Ruth and Boaz. I think it's ironic when Boaz says that there is a redeemer closer. Because when I hear those words, yes, there was in an earthly sense a nearer relative. But when I hear those words, I remember that there is a redeemer closer to us than Boaz as well. And it is the one who took on our own flesh and blood. The one who came down and who took a risk, who risked his neck, his body, and his life to be your redeemer and to redeem you not simply from earthly challenges and sorrows, but to redeem you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Our Lord put his neck on the line, and he was crucified to redeem you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense. Let the